The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Please turn to page 111 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Allow me to read the words of God. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen. If you ask people what was the most difficult homework during vacations in elementary school, many people will answer keeping a journal. If you wrote daily entries, it would not be a problem. But if you postponed writing it for more than a month, catching up in just a few days was really hard work. It was fortunate if there were days like national holidays or birthdays that one couldn't remember. But for other days, you couldn't write repeatedly that you woke up, ate, studied, played, and slept. So it was really tough. The most frustrating part while catching up with daily entries were when you couldn't remember the weather for each day. So for the diary entry for the same day, one child would write that it was a clear day, and another would write that it was rainy. Sometimes people even debated about which weather to write down. But sometimes there's a student who wrote daily entries in the journal. The child writes in the journal not because it's homework, but to wrap up each day by writing a journal. When I was a fifth grader, there was one classmate like that. When that student submitted the journal at the end of the break, the student submitted not only the entries for the vacation, but a series of journals tied with a string. The teacher, of course, complimented him, and many students glared at him. God created each person as unique beings. In the entire world, there's only one person that looks like me and lives the life I am living. There is an extrovert and an introvert. There is a person who processes a situation with his intellect and one who feels the situation. And every person is born in a different environment, receives various levels of education, and meets different people. So in the world, there's no one person with same life events. Two sisters that are different in character appear in today's scripture. Martha is an extrovert, and Mary is an introvert. A person like Martha is capable of cooking meals for many people or preparing bazaars at church. And she would easily share the gospel to a neighbor or a colleague at work. On the other hand, a person like Mary does not dislike serving, but it's not natural for her. And she thinks about sharing the gospel with a neighbor or a colleague at work, but she can't easily bring it up. She wants to say, "Try coming to our church once," but the words become mumbled in her mouth, and then she turns away, saying goodbye. But Mary types will follow through a quiet time seminar at church, while Martha types cannot endure it. The latter may think, "Isn't it enough to read the Bible closely, go to Sunday service, and listen well during Wednesday Bible study? Why do we need to read the Bible every day, reflect, and even keep a journal?" It's silly to ask whether Mary is right or Martha is right. God created us differently. Moreover, even if people in the Bible have great faith, there's no one person that is complete and one that is exactly like me. Characters in the Bible are like mirrors that show who we are. So, based on today's scripture, you may think, "I'm more like Martha," or "I'm more like Mary." But no one can be 100% Martha or 100% Mary. Verse 38 of today's scripture testifies as follows. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. A village refers to Bethany, a small town located about 3 kilometers east of Jerusalem. Capernaum was the main site of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, located in the northern part of Israel, while Bethany was the main site in the southern part, Judea. 5 days before Jesus was hung on the cross, Jesus entered Jerusalem on a small donkey. He entered the temple and overturned the tables and chairs of people who exchanged money from regular currency to the temple currency, and of those selling doves for sacrifice. And he cleaned out the temple, saying, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Jesus' act was seen strange by the high priests and the teachers of the law, and so it made them angry. But after that, the destination where Jesus was headed to is testified in Matthew chapter 21, verse 17. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Jesus did not stay in a motel in Jerusalem or a house offered by someone living in Jerusalem. Instead, he went to Bethany and stayed there. During the last 4 days on this earth, Jesus spent the day in Jerusalem, but at night he left that big city with his disciples and went to Bethany, a small town towards the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, because that was where the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, who Jesus loved, was located. When Jesus went to the city of Bethany, Martha received him. Martha opened her home to him. Even though it was common to refer to a home by a man's name, since the scripture refers to the house of Martha, she could have been a widow or was single at an old age. And in homes without parents, the oldest daughter usually takes on the role of the parent. So Martha, who was much older than her younger sister Mary, seems to have been the head of the household, who took care of her older brother Lazarus and her younger sister at a home without surviving parents. I remembered reading a short essay written by a lady published in a small magazine a while ago. Parents of five daughters passed away in a car accident when the youngest was 7 years old and the oldest was a seventh grader. After the accident, a relative came and said that all five cannot stay, so fourth and fifth ones should stay at the orphanage for a while. The eldest begged to be together, and so she started to work at a factory in ninth grade. Even after that, the eldest worked as a housemaid, vegetable peddler, and dishwasher at restaurants to support her younger sisters. Only after that, she took her GEDs and entered the National Open University as a single in her middle ages. Whenever younger sisters said sorry and thank you to the older sister, she replied, "I did go through arduous work to support you girls, but I have many fond memories with our parents who you don't remember. So I'm indebted to you for those memories, and I could endure working harder for you. Whenever things got rough, I could commemorate memories with our mom and dad to keep it up. So don't feel sorry because you don't have that." When Jesus visited Martha's home, he was not alone, and 12 disciples were with him. And since he also sent 70 people to spread the kingdom of God, they are likely to be with him as well. Moreover, Jesus also had female disciples, unlike the average rabbis of the time. So Jesus' company would have been about 800 people. Thus, there would have been many things to do to invite them. After receiving the message that Jesus and his disciples were coming, Martha probably thought only about food for a couple of days or at least a couple of weeks. Moreover, the custom at the time was to visit someone's house for 2 or 3 days, not just one meal. So if Jesus and his company also followed that custom, there are even more things to do, such as cleaning the house and preparing the bedding. Only after that, as Martha was busy taking care of the food, the younger sister was not helping out at all. Verse 39 says, "She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said." The cultural Jewish norm at the time was that women take care of the household production and stay in the kitchen. So Martha was abiding by the norm of the time. It was unthinkable for women to be among men and sit in front of the feet of a rabbi at the time. Receiving the teachings of the law was allowed only to boys, not to girls, and Mary would have known that. St. Paul stood in front of Jews and confessed how a fervent Jew like him became the disciple of Christ. In Acts chapter 22, verse 3, he says, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as jealous for God as any of you are today." Apostle Paul mentions that in the past, he was the disciple of Gamaliel, who was considered the best rabbi at the time, and studied under him and his feet. So when Mary listened to the words of the Lord at the feet of Jesus, it means that she is learning as the disciple following Jesus. Rabbis at the time did not have female disciples, but Jesus already had female disciples. That means Jesus also broke the rule of the time. And Mary was sitting at his feet as the disciple of Jesus. This took enormous courage. The first Western Royal Hospital, Jejungwon, which means to save the people, opened on April 10th, 1885. Women and men could be treated without gender discrimination at Jejungwon, but realistically, women could not go, since most doctors were male. It was difficult for women to show their body to male doctors and be diagnosed. So in 1887, a hospital for women opened, and Emperor Gojong named it Boguyeogwan, which means to protect and save women. But Martha could not withstand Mary's behavior anymore, so she complained to Jesus in verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Martha probably focused on what she had to do in the beginning, but became annoyed over time. Why is she sitting there? Shouldn't she bake bread or cook fish? She should at least take out the food on a dish. This uncontrolled anger and sentiment towards Mary is now headed to Jesus. So she snapped at Jesus, "Can't you see that I'm working alone, Jesus? Shouldn't you tell Mary to go and help me?" But Jesus replied as the following, verse 41, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." To describe Jesus' words in today's eating culture, it will go like this. "Mary, it's tough to prepare Korean food, right? You have to make japchae, bake fish, and cook marinated beef. Then you'll have to steam vegetables, fish pancakes, and even seaweed soup. There are so many things to care about, but you need not do so many things." Hearing Jesus' words may have made Martha even more angry. She might have wanted to say, "You should have told me earlier. I'm almost done preparing and you're telling me this now?" Jesus continues to speak in the following. Verse 42. The few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. The direct translation of the Greek version of this verse is, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part. When Jesus visited Martha's house, the only one necessary thing was to open her home to Jesus. If she held a 70th or 80th birthday party for her parents, the only one necessary thing would be to make her parents happy. If the children prepare when and where to have the party, what to eat, and who to invite, and you irritate your parents about the process, then you're losing the only necessary thing. The reason why Jesus visited Martha's home was not to take care of one meal or many meals, but rather to visit the home of the people and to share thoughts with them. Mary was watching Jesus at his feet while Martha was looking at the food. In such context, Mary did one necessary thing, and it was a good decision. And so it will not be taken away from her. After hearing what Jesus said in today's scripture, it is not recorded how Martha reacted. But the meaning of today's scripture does not mean that kitchen work at Martha's home is unnecessary, and that Mary's listening is the important task. It also does not mean that the faith of Martha is better than that of Mary. In John chapter 11, the event of Jesus giving life to Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, is described. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, 4 days had passed since Lazarus died, so even the funeral had ended. After receiving the word that Jesus was coming, Martha went out to greet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha, upon meeting Jesus, said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Then Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Then Jesus spoke words that gives us eternal hope. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." To these words, Martha confessed absolute faith about Jesus. "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." But until then, Mary was still not coming out of the house. So Jesus had her come out to Jesus. Mary, upon seeing Jesus, fell at his feet and said, just like her sister, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But after that, Mary cried with the people who came with her. Jesus was sorrowful to see them crying and shed tears in pain. Martha said that if Jesus was there, her brother would not have died, and also confessed her faith about Jesus. But Mary just kept on crying. Based on this, Martha's faith towards Jesus seems to have been way deeper than Mary's. When Jesus visited Martha's home, what to watch out for from Martha is the busyness of the heart due to so much things to prepare. The work was not busy, but the heart was busy. If the heart is busy, you lose out on the one necessary thing. When you serve diligently at church, you experience your heart becoming busy often. It's noble to serve at the kitchen where many do not volunteer. And I hope that more people will serve at places unseen like the kitchen. But it's easy for the heart to become busy as one prepares for many things. Let's say that we decided to cook bean sprouts rice bowl and ask someone to buy bean sprouts, and the person bought mung bean sprouts instead of the regular bean sprouts were sold out. If we asked for regular bean sprouts, she should have bought bean sprouts. But why did she buy mung bean sprouts instead? And during the entire worship service, they will continue to think about mung bean sprouts, which is also called sukju in Korean. But during the service that day, the pastor will say, Israelites escaped Egypt and went to Sukkoth with the guidance of pillar of clouds and fire. Then the volunteers may mistaken Sukkoth as mung bean sprouts, called sukju in Korean, because the words sound similar, and think on their own, Israelites were led by pillars of clouds and fire while eating mung bean sprouts. That are mung bean sprouts more biblical than regular bean sprouts? So instead of listening to the words that they needed to pay attention to, the volunteers would be filled with thoughts about food and miss out on the one necessary thing. What keeps our hearts busy in our spiritual lives? Whatever it is, when our hearts are busy, there's no space for the Lord to stay. And we start making demands to the Lord. From Mary, we can learn about how worship can be a way of life. Mary chose what is better in Luke chapter 10, and she would have become joyful because of it. But in John chapter 11, we see that she could not overcome sadness. Even though she knows that Jesus is almighty and loves her family, she is resentful about why Jesus did not come when her brother was still alive. But after that, Mary is not hesitant to pour fragrance worthy of 300 denarii to Jesus. While others thought it was a waste, that was the one necessary thing to Mary, since it was her best sacrifice to serve the Lord. From Martha, we can see how daily lives can become worship. Martha at first had too many things to prepare, and consequently, her heart became busy. So she lost the one necessary thing, but she did not lose faith and trust of the Lord, even when her brother died. So after Jesus resurrected her older brother Lazarus, she continued to work by having a party for the Lord. Though Mary did not help out, Martha did not once again lose the one necessary thing due to the busyness of the heart. While Martha was at work, she focused on the Lord. Let's consider the image of Mary and Martha as important lessons for us to learn from. In the places God has planted with all his heart and soul, may our hearts not become busy and instead focus on one necessary thing by worshiping the Lord. And thus may we make worship to be our way of life. And when our hearts are not busy, may we focus on the one necessary thing of serving people that the Lord has entrusted to us so that our lives become worship. When the life of Mary's worship become the latitude and the life of Martha's service becomes the longitude to intertwine and weave out truth and life, our lives will become masterpieces made by God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for helping us realize how different each one of us are made through today's scripture. From the image of Mary, we reflect upon our service. We confess that instead of falling at the feet of the Lord, we thought of that falling at the feet of someone or falling to the world would be more beneficial. Please forgive us as our worship did not deepen, nor did our faith mature. Just as Mary fell at the feet of Jesus, may we also focus at the one necessary thing by offering our most precious thing so that our worship becomes our way of life. And also from the image of Martha, we reflect upon our service. We confess that we like to be served, that to serve diligently like Martha, and we often took service for granted. And may we obey the words of the Lord that it is more blessed to give than to receive, so that we become people of faith that serve others. If we are losing out on one necessary thing due to the busyness of heart while serving, may our daily lives become worship by focusing on God. So may the latitude of worship and the longitude of service intertwine so that our lives become masterpieces of truth and life in the places God has planted us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.